Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Uber dishes out small change to San Francisco, and we have an important announcement about the new way airlines are pricing multiple city trips and how you can beat the ripoff.
California is one of the best vacation destinations in the country, and at 3:20, we're joined by a guest who offers authentic California vacations and the opportunity to secure tickets to major sporting events.
Chris Elliott is one of our most popular guests, and today he poses the question, if hotels are forced to stop charging resort fees, what will replace them? We have that story at 3:35.
We save the best for last at 3:55 when we share a story about how a brother's love for his flight attendant sister brought heartwarming responses from a plane load of travelers.
April showers are bringing May flowers to the valley, and we are most pleased that you are spending part of your Sunday with the Travel Guy.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman.
Yes, sir.
To my left. Yes, sir.
I have one question for you.
Yes.
Why do we have two television sets in this control room and not a single one of them is on to the baseball game?
I don't know, because I can't find the remote control.
Well, you can't even find your telephone.
I know. I found it. It just doesn't work. Yeah, for those out there that are addicted to your phones, you can identify... I was upgrading my iOS, operating thing on my phone, and it didn't go well.
It melted down from the sound of it.
Yeah, basically, it quit in the middle, and as a result, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you're
one of my
around
smart
with no phone in your pocket.
I know. I'm trying to calm down.
And you don't
my
wear a watch. How do you figure out what time it is?
I have to ask you. What time is it, Mark? It's time for the Travel Guys. Anyway, so yeah, I got one of my son-in-laws who are smart at that kind of thing. They're working on it.
Uh-huh. Well,
so anyway,
it's nice to be on solid ground here.
There you go.
I have come from Key West, Florida this morning.
There you go. We talked about that as you got out of the car. You told us that you ate and you stay hydrated.
Yes.
For those that missed it a few weeks ago, after one of Mark's long flights, he passes out after working out at the gym and bangs his head and goes to the hospital.
Pretty ugly. So we're not going to repeat that.
Yeah. So you're eating and drinking.
Yeah.
Luis, bring more water.
Delta
please.
Airlines brought me home today, 7 o'clock.
Delta, you do usually fly United.
I do, but the only way to get home from Key West with one stop is Delta, and you can't go outbound. You can't get to Key West with one stop on any carrier, but you can get back if you leave at 7 a.m. from Key West, which is 4 a.m. Sacramento time. The wake-up call came quite a bit before that. And then you can fly up to Atlanta, and there's a 37-minute connection, so you got to be on time and you got to hoof it. And here I am. So there you go.
By the way, and we'll get to the travel news, which is coming up here in just a minute, have you had a chance to use your easy sleep?
I have. The guy wrote me a thing, and I said, I haven't talked about it on the air because I tried to use it. Okay, so I'm a frequent United traveler.
Mm-hmm.
So I get 6 upgrade certificates a year that I can use to get into first class, provided that United is kind enough to endow me with the seat.
Right.
So I get upgraded, and I try to use that pillow thing, but it doesn't fit around the first class seat.
Okay.
Which is a problem for me anyway, because I'm too short for those headrests.
Right.
So it's just a nightmare. I mean, really, I'm better off just to curl up like a kitty cat in the seat and just lay there. So it doesn't really work well. I haven't tried it in coach yet. I will try it the next time that I fly coach, and I will come back and report on it.
Okay.
But
it's
kind of big. It's a big package, so you have to. It takes up a third of your backpack if you're.
It is a little bit, but it is a little bulky.
But we'll see if it works and keeps the head from bobbing, then it'll definitely be worth it.
Do we still have, if you go to travelguysradio.com, I don't know.
No, I don't think
so. It's probably not there, but anyway, we'll talk more about it when we have more time.
It's the sleep pillow.
Yeah, it's supposed to help you get comfortable
in sleep. I think a croquet mallet would work just as good. Delta did a nice job today. I slept a good part of the way, though, because when you get up 4 a.m. Pacific time, you tend to just get on. I'm one of those people who gets on the plane, and Clayton can get on the plane, and he never even remembers the plane taking off.
That's crazy.
Chris Galloway is the same way. I at least remember the airplane taking off. But nonetheless, 2 hours from Key West and 5 hours from Atlanta. And here we are. I'm not sure what time zone I'm in, but.
Well, I know in this time zone, it's time for the travel news.
The travel news. All right. It's kind of a short stack today here of travel news. There hasn't been a whole lot going on. There is, however, an airfare sale going on. That is interesting only for two reasons. It goes until the 14th of April. So what's that? Today's the 10th. So mm-hmm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday it expires. Southwest are having the sale. Some of the other carriers have matched in city pairs where they compete with Southwest. And the impressive thing about this sale, it's the first one I've seen that goes all the way to November.
So, in regards to when you can book your flights?
Well, yeah, they black out a good part of the summer, though, June 16th to August 22nd. So you could early in the summer, late in the summer, or if you're traveling in the fall, you know, and you want to get a ticket now and you want to get a decent price. So this is mm-hmm. Southwest. It's up until, and I'm guessing, let's see, it sometimes, you know, they limit this to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and the thing that I printed out here doesn't say. I'll try to come back with that later on in the broadcast and tell people, because it may limit the number of days, the days of the week that you can take advantage of those sales. But anyway, pretty good sale from Southwest Airlines, particularly if you're looking for early summer, late summer, or the fall. Speaking of Southwest, have you ever flown out of Long Beach, Tom?
Yes.
Great little airport. Mm-hmm. I mean, really it is. It's been dominated by JetBlue in recent years. It's a small airport. It won't get much bigger because it's a capacity-controlled airport because LAX is so close and Orange County is so close. Only a very limited number of slots are allowed a day for airplanes to take off and land from Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So they've expanded the number of slots by about 16, and Southwest got some of those.
Okay.
JetBlue has kind of dominated that airport, but Southwest now is going to fly into Oakland. No expanded service to Sacramento. We have two flights a day with JetBlue in Long Beach. JetBlue is, in my opinion, the best carrier that serves Sacramento. We don't have Virgin America here, although with Virgin and American Alaska joining hands mm-hmm. here, everybody's mm-hmm. joining mm-hmm. hands. Marriott and Starwood.
There you go.
The on again, off again is on again. So you and I, right. I'm the Marriott guy, you're the Starwood guy. We're about to be.
That'll work out great. One of these days, I'll be staying in some of the Marriott places that you're accustomed to. And you can.
But how many people are going to be fighting over how many hotel? You know, I mean, concerns me a little bit.
You're expanding, memberships, but it's still the same number of locations.
Well, it is, but all the Starwood people will be able to tap into Marriott, and all the Marriott people will be able to tap into Starwood, so there'll be more competition.
Well, I guess you're right.
But
we'll
there's
find
more
out.
Choices. More so choices. Maybe that works
I like more choices.
Which airline is the most social media savvy? You know, a lot of the airlines now have Twitter accounts where they update people and give them information. Delta is shutting theirs down, coincidentally, in about a month. Their Twitter account, and they're not going to handle it that way anymore. They talked about, this company applied how the level of interaction that the social media content receives, how much impact, in other words, how many people does it reach, and how responsive are the people who put it up there? When people start putting up comments, how well do they respond? So that's how they decided which airline is the most social media savvy. Facebook, JetBlue at the top, doesn't surprise me. Hawaiian second, Frontier third, interesting. Delta, American, and United, fifth, sixth, and eighth. Hmm. Twitter, Alaska Airlines had the highest score for Twitter, followed by United, JetBlue, and Southwest. So kind of interesting if you're a social media person. Uber is paying, I said small change in the headlines, it's actually agreed to pay up to a $25 million fine to settle a lawsuit filed by San Francisco and Los Angeles. We talked about this last week, that Uber had maybe misled its customers about its safety and about how the drivers were screened and things of that sort. And as part of the settlement, Uber will cease claiming that its background checks are the toughest in the industry and will no longer use phrases like such as safest ride on the road or describe its background checks as the gold standard.
Wow.
So under the terms of the settlement, Uber will pay you. These guys have got to be floating in money. Paid $10 million within 60 days, equally split between L.A. and San Francisco. The remaining $15 million penalty can be waived in 2 years if Uber complies with all the terms of the settlement.
Now, who brought the settlement and who's getting the money?
The cities of San Francisco and Los Angeles brought the...
For fraudulent marketing practices.
Right, yeah, okay. Exactly. So Uber has already paid $1.8 million to settle claims from riders who were charged fake airport fee tolls. Well, anyway, moving right along.
We'll go right along with
Carnival's those. Got a new cruise ship.
Yes.
They're going to have. It's going to arrive in 2018. Is the sister ship to their soon-to-debut Carnival Vista. It is going to be called the what? The Carnival Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Carnival Breeze. Where's the new Carnival ship? It is yet unnamed. 3,900 passengers will debut in the spring of 2018. Are you a cruiser guy?
I have not. I've been a little cautious because I know it's not quite the same as large boats, but I'm
try a small ship.
I get seasick quite easily.
Try a small ship. We should get you to spring for a cruise to Tahiti for Sarah. She would like that.
Yeah, I'm going to try the European river cruises. I think there'd be less motion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I have not. I would like to cruise. Because
the European river cruise, yes. Motion would not be an issue there. Water might be an issue. Enough of it.
Right.
But anyways.
How about you? Do you cruise?
I don't like big cruise ships. Small cruise ships, 100, 150, 200 passengers, 300 passengers. I'm all about that. It's wonderful.
Does it have to do with that issue you had when you were younger with shuffleboard?
It has. What are you talking about?
Oh, don't you remember that?
No.
Okay.
I hate standing in line waiting to get off of a cruise ship while they take your picture at the bottom of the gangplank so they can sell it to you for $20 when you come back to the ship. All that stuff to me is just... is hokey.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of it. It's like, get out of my way and let me go into town. Okay, we talked about in the headlines, airlines have changed a rule here that is costing flyers a lot of money. And if you're just a person who flies round trip between Sacramento and Denver all the time, this doesn't apply to you. But if you fly what is called multiple city tickets, now those who are business travelers, let's say, for example, you were flying to San Francisco. No, that's a better example. You're flying to Chicago, and then you had business in Washington, D.C. So you go to Chicago for a couple days, and then you fly to Washington, D.C., and you fly back to Sacramento.
Right.
So you're stopping in Chicago and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That ticket used to be priced by the airlines in a different fashion, and they've now started pricing it in a way. All three airlines started pricing it this way on exactly the same day. What a coincidence that is. What it amounts to is these multiple city tickets are coming up hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, more expensive, ridiculous amounts on when you pull them up online. The only way you can beat it is to buy a series of one-way tickets. But the problem with that is that if you have to make any kind of a change, you're going to be stuck. If you had to buy what I just described as three one-way tickets,
right.
You'd save about $600 to the example that I have in front of me here. But if you had to make a change, the airline is going to stick you, unless you're flying Southwest, for $200 for every one of those tickets.
Yeah. No boy.
So you're going to pay $600 for the change. So it's just, that's the only way around it right now. Ed Perkins is going to come on with us next week, and we are going to talk about this in depth. So if you're a frequent flyer and you've run into this multiple city trip thing online, and you're saying, what the heck is going on here? We'll have... the insight into the story next week. We're hoping by the time Ed gets here next week that something will break on this. The airlines, all three coming up with this on the same day, has a bad smell to it, and we're hoping that it will go away as quickly as it came up. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys coming up in 3 minutes. Authentic California vacations. You're not going to want to miss this. Next. Welcome, everyone. This is the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a wonderful Sunday, and if you like to travel, you've come to the right radio program. We're here to make you a smarter traveler. Mark, you've lined us up another fabulous guest. Please introduce our guest to us, would you?
Well, Tom, this is a little bit of a departure. Sometimes we go to exotic places, but as we know, travel can be down the street, around the corner, in your own state. And so joining us on the phone now is Suzanne Slaver from Authentic California Vacation. Suzanne is an old friend of mine, and I've asked her to come and tell folks a little bit about what her company has to offer. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Mark and Tom. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Welcome.
Suzanne, how many years have you been in the travel industry?
No, thanks, Mark. 30.
30.
Well, that's okay. Mark has been, 35, Mark?
Tom, Suzanne and I first met because our booths used to be across from each other at a major trade show at the National Tour Association for many years. Suzanne's company at the time was called Sports Empire and is still part of her corporate conglomerate. And we are Sports Leisure Vacations. At the time, we were Sports Leisure Travel. We became good friends. And as time has evolved, why Suzanne's company has changed slightly from being all sports events to incorporating a number of great California events and attractions into our packages. Is that kind of correct?
That's perfect. Exactly what happened. When the climate changed for travel a few years back, we were trying to determine how we wanted to grow, because companies need to continue to grow to survive. And we were doing all the sports we wanted to do, but we love California. We live in California. So it kind of just organically started happening that we began packaging California. On request, we came up with a really cool name, Authentic California Vacations. We put it out there to our clientele, which are mainly travel agents all through the world now, with, you know, worldwide travel agents. And we custom design packages all through California. We do a lot of Napa Valley. We do Laguna Beach, San Diego, Palm Springs. And they're all custom designed based on what the client wants to do.
Suzanne, give us an example of one of the most recent California little trips that you put together for somebody, so folks would understand what the agenda might be.
So these folks are coming in from Texas, never been to California. They're coming in to San Francisco. They're going to do two nights at the Sir Francis Drake right in downtown San Francisco. Then from there, we're going to pick them up in a private limo. We're going to pick them up, bring them up to the Napa Valley. They're going to go up to Napa for a couple of days. One day they're going to golf. The next day they're going to do the wine train. Then they decided to pick up a rental car after that, and they're going to drive down to Monterey Carmel and spend 3 or 4 days on their own. We just provided the hotel and the car rental. We didn't do any sightseeing or attractions for them. Then they're going to drive their car back to San Francisco Airport and fly back home a week later.
So this is more for folks who are looking for independent travel, yeah, perhaps. And yes, not to travel as a part of a group, but, or maybe looking at, they may see a package online and say, wow, about half of that works for me, but the other half doesn't. I wonder how somebody could put that together. And that's where your company would come in.
Exactly. It actually happened yesterday. It's a family of five, and they sent me the link to one of the large companies' program, and they didn't want to go to the Yosemite part. But I said, well, you know, you don't have to go. You can see, if you want to see the Redwoods, you could just go up to Muir Woods for the day from San Francisco, and then we can create the rest of it. Then they wanted to do a self-drive coastal down to L.A. And so, yeah, I said, sure, we can do that.
I noticed, Suzanne, I'm looking at your website. And by the way, for our listeners, it's AuthenticCaliforniaVacations.com, and there will be a link on the Travel Guys website, as always, so that you can go there on your own. But, Suzanne, I'm looking here at the Laguna Pageant of the Masters as an example of one of the events that you package, and that's an event that my company packages in Southern California. Tell folks a little bit about the Laguna Pageant.
Well, and probably the differences in our packages is we are more independent. We include less, you include more. So we would do a more bare bones, three nights hotel, 3 days car and tickets to the event, and then let the client grow from there. Where with Sports Leisure, more escorted, more hosted, you're going to add maybe a group meal or some other activity. So that's the big difference, and why we've always complemented each other so nicely and have been able to work together. Because if ours doesn't work, yours does, and vice versa. We were talking about some spring training we might want to partner with next year.
Now, Suzanne, if folks have an interest in one of your vacations, they can contact you directly. But I know that you also work pretty exclusively with the travel agent community.
Yeah, we work 99.9% with travel agents. So my preference would be that they call anyone at Sports Leisure Travel. I know all your staff personally, and we can work it there, because there may be some things that Sports Leisure can add to it that we wouldn't do, because we are not full service travel professionals. We're a little more niche or specialized.
So what I'm just suggesting for our listeners is that if you take a look at the website Authentic California Vacations and you have a travel agent or a travel counselor, why, you can just go tromping right in there and say, hey, this is what I would like to have, and they can fix it right up for you.
The website is designed for the travel agent and the traveler to work, to look together, to come up with what it is they want to do. Then they get it to us, and then we can price it based on the dates. And, you know, whether they want a car rental, private driver, all those little extras.
Suzanne, you still do a lot of sporting events, something like the Super Bowl or a major sporting event, an all-star game, yeah, or something like that. Folks can still get a package from you for that?
Yeah, baseball all-star games in San Diego this year. Kentucky Derby's coming up, the 100th Indianapolis 500. We've got just a couple of spots left. Masters is going on this week. So those we retail. They're kind of set packages versus the California. We really do customizing based on individual requests. Although I will tell you, with Sports Empire, we do more custom design than we ever had. That's the way travelers are moving now. They want to do it their way. They want it custom designed, and we are happy to provide that service.
I'm just curious. Give me the top three addresses, the top three places that you find more people want to go and do than any other over the years you've been doing this.
In California?
Yes.
Napa, Napa, and Napa.
Well,
that's the truth. We do 75% Napa. After that, it's probably San Diego, Palm Springs.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Los Angeles is the least.
Suzanne Slaviter with Authentic California Vacations. You can go to travelguysradio.com. We have a link to her website there, and you can go and take a look at all of the wonderful trips that they have, and then just go to your travel agent, travel counselor, and they will be happy to book you. Suzanne, thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys.
Hey, nice, very much. Thank you, Tom. Love you, Mark. Bye, you guys.
All right, Suzanne, thank you so much.
Suzanne Slaviter, good friend there. And coming up after the news, if hotels are forced to stop charging resort fees, what will they get thinking creatively to replace them? Chris Elliott has the story right after the news with Andrew on KFBK.
Welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And time once again to bring back the consumer advocate who does so much for so many, Christopher Elliott, joining us again. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks so much.
Nice to have you back, Mr. Elliott. You have been ranting and raving on your website on a daily basis. Tom, even on the weekend, Chris's website sends out an update on Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, when people are cheating travelers, they don't do it only 5 days a week or 12 hours a day. So somebody's got to be on guard all the time, which brings me to today's topic, Chris. You had an article last week about a couple of Hilton properties that creatively have come up with what you thought might be the, if the resort fee ever goes away, that it may not actually go away. And these people got real creative about something, and you put the kibosh on it. So give us the background.
Yeah, this happened back in November and December of last year. And as you know, there's a bill right now in the U.S. Senate to stop resort fees, to basically kill them. It would require that hotel disclose these fees right up front when you're giving a price to a potential customer, which would negate their entire value because, you know, these resort fees, as you know, are added at the very end after you've made a booking decision, and sometimes even after you've gone to the hotel, stayed there, they'll surprise you with them at the end. And there are these mandatory fees for everything from using the pool to the towel to the exercise machine to the free, and I'm making air quotes here as I say, free internet and the breakfast, and those are all supposedly included in these resort fees. And a lot of hotels that are not resorts charge them too. So anyway, this bill sponsored by Senator McCaskill is going to stop resort fees. And the big question everyone is asking is, what will happen when resort fees go bye-bye? And one potential answer is what these Hilton properties have done. So what happened was they said, well, people don't like resort fees. So they added a hospitality fee. And get this, they actually disguised it as a tax so that when people asked about the hospitality fee, they said, oh, well, it's a mandatory tax. And so a lot of people didn't question it. And I think that the point that I was trying to make in the story is that when the resort fee goes away, these very clever hotel executives are going to come up with a new fee to replace it.
Now, Chris, you mentioned this hospitality fee and stuff like that that was kind of thrown in there. What was that supposed to cover? What is a hospitality fee?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Aren't hotels kind of in the hospitality business? Isn't that sort of the whole premise in the first place?
Absolutely. I mean, a hotel is supposed to be hospitable. It is, you know, as you point out, in the hospitality business. So to charge people for, what are they getting extra hospitality? Who knows? I think it's just something that looks good on a hotel folio. Those are the things that they give you when you check out of a hotel. And really, this is a money grab. They're trying to get into your wallet and get a couple of extra bucks from you per night. And hoping that you're not going to say anything. And then if you do, they're going to say, well, you know, it's tax. And it's not.
Well,
tax.
And people generally don't notice these in many cases, Chris, because in many parts of the country now, there is a small tourism subsidy or a small tourism tax that is used to support local tourism, which was supposed to be from the bed tax. But that's a whole other argument. Local governments have taken that and used it for other things. It was originally hotel bed taxes were to support tourism. Now, in some cases, you have a small, we have it here in California. I think it's 0.1% or something like that. So it's a few pennies on each hotel bill. So some of those are legitimate. We don't want people to think that anytime they see something like that, that the hotel's trying to rip them off. But so when you went to Hilton and you called them on this, what happened?
Nothing initially. It's very interesting because I contacted them at the corporate level, and normally they get back to me and say, oh, you know, we'll look into this and get an answer for you. And about a week and a half later, I heard back from the customer who had initially contacted me with a question about it, and he said, guess what? They refunded my hospitality fee, and they told me that they were going to remove this fee from their bill from here on out. So I think that there were some concerns that maybe there would be a lawsuit. Potentially even a class action lawsuit, so they wanted to try to avoid that.
Chris, a couple of questions. Number one, what do you think the potential of this bill actually passing and becoming law and making the hotels and these resorts reveal the resort fee up front? And number two, how many of them do you think that if they do pass it are simply just going to, you know, they're still going to charge it. They're just going to make sure that you know immediately.
Oh, well, that's the $1 million question, isn't it? Literally the $1 million question. I think that whether this bill passes or not, there will still be fees, unwanted fees that you have to pay, whether it's a resort fee or a hospitality fee or a make my bed fee or a cleaning fee, whatever. Hotels love these fees. For a variety of reasons. And, you know, one thing I meant to say before is we have fee fatigue. Hotel taxes have been around for a while, these bed taxes that pay for all kinds of things. So when we look at the hotel bill, we don't even expect to see a grand total. We expect to see 5 or 6 fees and, you know, an internet connection fee, something like that. And so we don't even pay attention. We say, yeah, whatever, you know. Business travelers are especially bad about this because they know that someone else is footing the bill, and so they just kind of look the other way, take the folio, and check out. In terms of whether the bill is going to pass or not, also a good question. And, you know, I don't know. McCaskill's a Democrat. It's a Republican-controlled Senate, so she's going to have an uphill fight. But I do believe that, at the core of all this is the fact that the Federal Trade Commission cannot act on resort fees. It's gone as far as it can under the existing law. So it needs a new law in order to say these resort fees are unfair and deceptive. And so unless it gets that, it's done all it can, which is to say it tells hotels they must disclose these fees before you make a purchasing decision. And as you know, the purchasing decision can take 5 or 6 screens. So by the time you're at the end of the screen, and then they go, hey, oops, we forgot, there's a resort fee at the end of this. By then, you've already made, you're vested in this decision. What really needs to happen is that you need to find out beforehand how much that resort fee is, and that would effectively kill the fee.
We're talking with consumer travel advocate Chris Elliott on the Travel Guys this afternoon, and we're specifically talking about resort fees and speculating about what might happen when resort fees go away. And Chris, you mentioned the bill by Senator McCaskill, and I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and I went by Senator McCaskill's office and asked her staff if there was any update on the bill, and they said, no, not really. I looked online. There isn't a whole lot on it since it was introduced a month ago, but her staff had an interesting comment. I said, are you seeing any pushback from this? And they said, it's very interesting. The major hotel chains are not against it because they have heard so many complaints from their customers and they're so tired of it. And generally, it does not benefit the parent company. These fees benefit the franchisees or the individual owners of the company. And they said, interestingly enough, it is the independent hotel owners that are lining up against it. I said, what do you think that the chances are of this bill going anywhere? She says, I don't know if this will go anywhere or not. But she said, public sentiment is building.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have also spoken with the Senator Staffers about this bill, and they here's the thing. The major hotel chains don't want any more resort fees because they are unfair and deceptive, and their customers hate them. But there are some benefits to charging a resort fee. The franchisee gets to keep more of that money, and so the franchisees want these fees, and they're willing to lie to their own consumers to get that extra revenue. And what we have to do, really, as consumers, is say, look, we're not going to allow this. We will take our business elsewhere, which is, you know, it's really difficult to do that in a place like Las Vegas, where almost all of the hotels charge resort fees. It's a little bit easier in Orlando, which is where I'm based, because you have some hotels that are not going to charge that fee. And I think that's really what we have to do. In addition to supporting legislation like this, we have to take our money and spend it on hotels that are going to be honest with consumers.
Let me ask you something. Do people, when they come to a consumer advocate like yourself, do they frequently leave out details to make their story more favorable towards their situation?
Absolutely. All the time.
What a silly question.
Well, sometimes you just wonder if you go to Chris's website, you go through his forums, you'll see where some of the folks who respond to people's problems will kind of ferret out this information from mm-hmm. people. And sometimes they can smell one that doesn't quite seem right. So it's kind of fascinating to see people kind of fess up as the story unfolds and you find out that, well, maybe it wasn't quite, you know, the way that you told it in the first place. And that's why this happened to you or something like that. But nonetheless, the process is very educational. And I think that's what makes the website. Chris, your website is that all volunteers that run that?
We're all volunteers, including me. I don't get paid for what I do on the site. As you know, I'm a journalist, so that's how I make my money. We all have a very healthy rescue complex. I have a staff of about 2 dozen people who I work with, and then some people who come and go. So it fluctuates, but we do everything from we have a forum where people can come in and ask a question, and they'll get virtually instant answers because we have people who are always online there. We publish a blog 3 times a day. I have new posts that go up about new interesting cases. You know, everyone thinks we're in the consumer advocacy business, but we're really kind of in the human drama business because even though you have this educational aspect of what we do, and we do save people's trips, and by the way, we don't just do travel, we do all sorts of things, consumer electronics, cars, you name it. But at the end of the day, people read us because it's just a darn good read. These are real stories. And with real resolutions often, and you just can't make most of this stuff up.
Yeah, it's like reality TV, but it's a reality website. It's great stuff.
Chris Elliott from Elliott.org. You can find a link to it on TravelGuysRadio.com, or you can go there on your own. It is the best travel advocacy website going these days. Chris, thanks for your time. I know you're a busy man. We'll catch up with you on down the road. Travel safely.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chris. We are the Travel Guys. Read all about us at TravelGuysRadio.com. That's right. That's the place to go. You can also podcast our shows from there, as well as check them out. You can find them at iHeartRadio.com as well. All right, Mark, we've saved the best for last. Tell folks why they should hang around
for
the next 3 minutes.
We've got a great story about, it's a family sort of story, and dare I say, it probably couldn't have come from any other airline besides Southwest. Plus, you have a kind of a cool story,
which also involves
Southwest, and we are going to talk about the checklist for terrible flyers when we come back in the last segment of the Travel Guys.
Country roads, take me home.
John Denver brings us back here on the Travel Guys.
I miss him.
Yeah, me too.
I was
a big fan. I used to, back in the limited days when I thought I was a singer, I used to do this song.
Do you know, the Sacramento Bee did a wonderful memory story on Merle Haggard.
Yes.
A two-page. That was really one of the best things I've seen in the Bee in a long, long time.
Man,
that was really, really well done.
Merle's a real part of Northern California.
Well, absolutely. So it was nice that they had the budget and the ability to be able to do that. All right, let's see here. Checklist for terrible flyers.
Okay.
Tell me if you agree with these.
All righty.
Things that we're convinced there has to be some kind of manual that out there that horrible, inconsiderate airline passengers study before they board a plane. So, horrible things. You can list for terrible flyers. Number one, douse yourself in perfume or cologne.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right? I mean, you get on the plane, somebody's done that, you can smell them from, 12 rows in any direction. Block the way for people boarding.
Yep.
It's not your turn to board yet, but you're going to get up and block the way for everybody else. So
better yet, you get on ahead of everybody, and it takes you 15 minutes to not get your luggage in the overhead.
Hit people with your backpack as you walk down the aisle. Mark's favorite pet peeve. Ladies' purses also. And, of course, people don't know that they're hitting you with those things because there's no feeling in that part of what they're doing. Immediately recline your seat all the way. You immediately get in, you sit down, and before the plane ever takes off, which is, you know, then the flight attendant's going to come by and ding you,
mm-hmm.
or as soon as the plane gets up in the air, the first thing you do is let that sucker go all the way back.
Yeah, you mean all three quarters of an
inch? Yeah, and the person doesn't turn around and say, hey, excuse me, I'm about to put my seat back or anything like that. They just let it go, and God help you if you just, you know, propped your iPad up on there or something like that. Terrible flyers checklist, let your child run wild on an airplane, yes.
No.
Your kid is so cute, you're sure that everybody on the plane will think that way too. Let's go into the stinky category, break out the stinky snacks. Why do
Doritos.
People bring things on an airplane
Fritos.
That they would never eat in their own home?
Blue cheese and sardine sandwich.
And speaking of stinky, taking your shoes off.
No.
How to be really a terrible flyer. Taking your shoes off, yes. Strike up a loud conversation. Get drunk.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, you're sitting next to somebody. You can see them starting to put away those little liquor miniatures, it's a five-hour flight.
You have to understand, if you're with a bunch of people heading to Vegas, then that's what you're going to get. So you don't want to, if you want to fly to San Antonio, don't necessarily do the
Vegas connection.
Yeah, the Vegas connection, because half those people are, they want to be half in the can by the time they
The last one on this list, push your way out of the plane as soon as it lands. The person who comes charging up the aisle, trying to get past nine people, never mm-hmm. mind the fact that they're still behind 136 more to try to get off the plane. Some good things. I can identify with all of those.
Yeah, I don't, it's probably because you fly that United thing, I never see that kind of stuff on Southwest.
Uh-huh.
People are a lot, just like the people that work there.
Speaking of which, we have a couple of Southwest stories here. I have a save the best for last story, but you have a personal story that you were sharing with me before we went on the air. Tell me, share that with our listeners.
I'll try to keep this short because I know your story is going to take a little longer. My daughter and son-in-law flew home for the big event out at Arco for the Kings' last game of the season, and my daughter got a note as soon as she got landed that her luggage didn't make the plane. It was coming in on the one following that, so we went home. Ooh. They're going to deliver the luggage to the house,
uh-huh.
and she gets a phone call from them, and it says, "Well, we have your luggage, but." That's the good news. Bad news is that your luggage has been pretty well destroyed.
Run over by an airplane.
Might have been backed over by the plane, but at any rate, it was seriously damaged. And they says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put your luggage inside a brand new suitcase, and we will have it delivered to your house, no charge.
How cool is that?
And so, yes.
And is that what they did?
Exactly. They, you know, she didn't have a very expensive suitcase. The one that they gave her was probably worth two or three times as much. It was much larger, very nice, had the spinny wheels, you know, and we unzipped it, and here inside it was her suitcase, and it was they had to tape it together.
Wow.
With packing tape to keep it from falling apart.
That's a great story.
But the fact that they actually bothered to give her a new suitcase is I've never heard of that.
Well, yeah, I mean they could have given her the money and then she has to go out and buy her own suitcase.
That's true.
Which I don't know about you, but that would take me a while to go out and buy my own suitcase.
There you go. So good for them.
Well, good for
impressive.
Good for, yeah, it is good for Southwest Airlines. Speaking of Southwest Airlines, a longtime Southwest flight attendant passed away. Last week, and her name was Luann Alexander. She was 58 years old. She had been a Southwest Airlines flight attendant for 34 years. And when she got sick, she was unable to do a farewell flight. She was unable to make the last, you know, to make a last flight. So her brother went to visit her in Chandler, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix, and to say his goodbyes. And so when he went back to the plane, he had an idea, and he talked to the flight crew, and they decided that they gave him the microphone, and he kind of told people on the airplane about his sister and about her battle with pancreatic cancer and about her spirit and her smile and about how cancer had stolen her last chance to say goodbye to the flying that she loved. And so he passed his phone around on the plane and showed some pictures of her and stuff, and something pretty amazing happened. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can see this, and I would encourage you to go. It says flight attendant honored on flight 4463 dies. Anyway, he passed the phone around, and the people on the plane took their cocktail napkins and wrote the most amazing things to this man.
Mm-hmm.
And he got off the plane with like 90 of these cocktail napkins that had, and you can see them. You go to Travel Guys Radio.
There, it's great.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, if you start to read them, you won't get through them. So just the fact that this man thought of this as a way to honor his sister, and she has indeed now passed, but he's been flooded with more messages. This has kind of gone viral and stuff like that. And so dare I say, I'm not sure that would have happened on any other airline.
I question that too.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
It just seems like that's the kind of thing that happens on Southwest Airlines from time to time. I remember the time that they had one of the SeaWorld penguins or something on board with us, and it came walking down. All of a sudden, there's all this commotion on the plane, and all this stuff is. So I those people think of ways to be, you know, flying isn't all that much fun anymore, and it's really kind of arduous. But the people at Southwest figure out ways to make it human. So congratulations to them, and rest in peace to Luann Alexander and to her brother, who really, I think, went over and above, but found out that a bunch of those people didn't even know her.
No.
They didn't even know who she was.
Again, go to travelguysradio.com, and from the USA Today, there's a little video, and then the story is there for you to take a look at.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, let's see. It's time for our weekly winner.
It is for our Sports Leisure Vacations travel card drawing. We haven't had a winner the last 2 weeks, so this week the jackpot is $300. This is someone who went with Chris Galloway on his Ghost Towns trip just about a week and a half ago, the Nevada Ghost Towns. Linda Marin, M-A-R-R-E-N. You have won a $300 Sports Leisure Vacations travel card. Call our office Monday or Tuesday to claim your prize. And if we don't hear from Linda, next week it will be $400.
And if you're not traveling with Sports Leisure, is there a way to still enter,
my friend? Thank you for mentioning that, Tom. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you will see a comment form there. Just put contest in the subject line and send it to us, and your entry will be entered. In fact, we did have a winner from somebody who sent in online just a few weeks ago. So next week, we're going to have Ed Perkins. This whole airline thing with the multiple city tickets, I know that's real complicated for a lot of people, but those of us who travel a lot, we know what that means. And if you were trying to buy a ticket where you were going to go to two cities before you came home, that's a multiple city ticket, and those tickets have skyrocketed in cost. So we're hoping there will be some good news on that front before Ed gets here next week. But if he doesn't, we will give you some examples and tell you how to avoid paying all that extra money.
Also joining us next week, Richard Lewis, occasional guest here on the Travel Guys with the California Musical Theater Company.
He's got a way to improve the theater at down at the community center. So we'll talk to Richard next week and find out what that is. You have a great week. Tom, we'll see you next Sunday at 3.
Thank you, Mark. You guys stay safe. We'll see you next week, 3 o'clock. The news is next.